At my age, I would have gotten the back of a hand. So there's been progress in the Pacesinger family. You weren't here, so I used your name. What else is new, right? See, Kevin doesn't mind me using his name. My daughter would have walked out. Oops, she's not here either. Okay. But understand this. Guys with small children, spend the time with your children. Be disciplinarians. Set a rule and keep a rule. Rules work two ways. They're not for your convenience, but always include love. If they got to go to timeout, send them to timeout, then take the time, your time, to love them at the end of timeout. If you got to spank them, in my household it used to be, you go get the paddle. And then I had to follow up later with the love. But it's two ways. But it is important to express to your children that they're important. Jacob was 40 years old when Isaac touched him and kissed him to convey his blessing. No matter what the age, my son and I, we still hug. It's not just a handshake. It's a hug. It's an embrace. It's important to communicate. I got to tell you, last night I was one proud father. Mm-hmm. Kevin did a phenomenal sermon. A phenomenal sermon. He's a preacher. Second, according to the book of blessing, ingredient is a spoken message of affection and love. In verses 27, it says, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field." Well, I don't know today if that's a real compliment. Man, you smell like you just cut grass. I don't know if that's cool. But always say something positive to your child about what they're doing. Always say something positive. There's room for constructive criticism, sure, but always communicate that there's worth in what they're doing. There's something good and pleasant about their attitude. These words that communicate acceptance and love, they need to be spoken over and over again, even when our children stumble and fall. Well, that's the best fall I've ever seen. I don't know. Whatever, speak worth into their children. Third, assure them of their value. They're uniquely and wonderfully made. God only made one of them. And all our parents said, amen. And there are times we all feel that way. But those aren't the words that we speak to our little unique munchkins. We put it in a positive term. Notice in verse 28 it said, "May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine." I've had parents tell me that they are raising sternly willed, what's the term, willed? Strong-willed children. Well, I got news for you. They're going to be great attorneys one day. You can get them through this phase and you can aim them somewhere. They'll be great salespeople. They'll be great attorneys. They'll be great negotiators. Just on your knees. Get them through this phase without killing them. They, remember this. One day, they'll be deciding which nursing home you go to. There is dues to be paid at this point. So, you might want to be nice in helping shape them so that they don't pick the one down there on the corner that you wouldn't put your worst enemy at. Always speak special to them. That's all I'm saying. There is value because God does not make junk, and we need to speak into the life of they do. There's a couple here in the church. I watch them raise their children. And I am so impressed with where their sons are today and what they're doing. And they poured into their lives. They poured, they made it a priority. And I am impressed with where they are. They cried, they prayed, and they are well ahead of other people. They communicate their value. You're worth something. You're important to me. You're more important to me than the ball game I'm watching, than the newspaper I'm watching. When your children come into your room, parents, put the paper down. You can read it once they're in bed. Take 10 minutes, listen to their story, spend time each night. It's especially true with fathers. Spend time each day with each child. The fourth ingredient is to paint a picture of their future. I was dealing with someone that's frustrated over their child's dating habits. And I said, how long have you been praying for their mate? How many of you have children that are under 4 years of old? Okay. That's when you start praying for their mate. You start praying, may God, may you bring someone who loves the Lord more than they do. And start praying for the type of person you want. For those that are over four, don't stop now, because if you haven't started, start. Start praying for the son's wife, for the husband of your daughter, and the type of person you want them to have. You have not because you have not. And that you don't ask in faith. Fathers, you have a responsibility to pray for your children. I read an article this week about prayer. And it really made sense. It says our prayers go up to heaven and they don't evaporate like gas, but they stay before the altar of God until, like a mighty tidal wave, they accomplish the purpose. So our prayers are not repetitious, but prayers of faith go before the altar of God. My mama's prayers, praying for me back into the kingdom of God, I told her it was her fault I'm not a Baptist, because she didn't ever put Baptist in it. But they finally, like a toppling wall, I came back into the kingdom of God. Pray in faith, for God will answer our prayers of faith. He doesn't answer prayers of hope, but he answers prayers of faith. We need to pray. I'm already praying for Kyla. And I don't have the authority, the same authority that Kevin and Amanda have. I have a grandfather's authority. I don't have a parent's authority. There are levels of authority. I have authority as a priest to pray over y'all's family. But the priest of the home, John, over your home, you have more authority over your home than I do as a priest of your home. Now, I have authority over your home, but you have greater authority as the priest of the home. Follow me? But if we're both praying for the same thing, for little John, then he's getting a double whammy, because he's got two people praying, and then Jane's praying, and then Jan's praying, and then your friends are praying, and his grandparents are praying, his grandmothers are praying. John doesn't have a ghost of a change, because all those prayers are praying. God answers faithful prayers. The important response, that is the important responsibility of parents. Proverbs 22 says, train a child up in the way they should go, and when he is old, he'll not soon depart from it. Always make it a spiritual application. Teach them the things of God, And when they are old, they'll not forsake them. But there's another application. We're to help our children find their niche and discover who they are and why they're uniquely made and what God would have them do. Guys, we should be praying for what they should do. I will never forget, way back at St. David's, we had a gentleman that attended our church. I don't even remember his name. He went all the way through medical school. Now, that's a long, laborious task. He hated the practice of medicine. He was afraid of making a decision. After going through 4 years of college, 5 years of medical school, going through internship, getting a specialized, I think it was pediatrician, he went and worked for an insurance company as a paper pusher because he could not make a diagnosis. He was scared of being wrong. I said, why'd you go into medical school? That's what my daddy wanted. So sad. Don't let us push our sons or daughters into going into something that they hate. Find out what your sons or daughters want to be and help them achieve what their talent is. Help them get the direction, of course, and be praying. See, if we, who have authority, pray, God, what is the gift of my son or daughter? God will show us. We'll make mistakes, but God will redeem the day if we're praying in faith. Summation, a meaningful touch, a spoken word, an assuring them of their value, and helping them picture their future. And our children will turn out right. This morning, God is the perfect parent who has conveyed to us all the ingredients of his blessing in just one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning we offer God's invitation that whosoever, and you're a whosoever, I'm a whosoever, a loving Father reaches down to touch us, to speak to us, to tell us how valuable we are, and to help us see that we have a glorious future. If you have a decision to make this morning, I invite you to not leave here without making that decision. Fathers, sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get ahead of God. I'm the proverbial guy that when I cut down a limb, I get out on the wrong side of the limb. And then I wonder why it goes wrong. Have you ever been on the wrong side of a limb? Have you ever second-guessed God and decided you know where he's going, and so you can do it on your own? Please stand to your feet. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're one of those guys that have made a mistake and you're not sure that God's ever forgiven you, with no one looking around, I'm just going to ask you, as Kevin slowly plays, I'm just going to ask you, if you want to get right with God today, just this is Father's Day. It's a day to come home to the Father. Just raise your hand right where you are. There's just something you need to clear off your chest. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. I just want to pray for you. Anyone here today that wants to say, that's me. Father, in the holy name of Jesus, such as I am, I come to you. I thank you, Lord, that I know that you will receive me, for you've received me in the past. You've healed my wounds. Help me, Lord, to walk in your way, to be the parent, to be the student of your ministry that you would have me be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.